show. This is Cliffo and Gabby's catch up.
Today is Are You Okay Day, where everyone is encouraged to ask each other, are you okay? And it's actually a really interesting story about how Are You Okay Day came about. Gavin Larkin launched this back in 2009, and unfortunately, it was about 3 years later, he passed away from cancer, but he has left the most amazing legacy in Are You Okay Day. So we have his brother, Aya Larkin, on with us right now. How are you?
Hey guys, I'm good. Thanks.
Where to start? I have so many questions to ask you. Gabby kind of summed it up in the intro there. Your brother, he was a bit of a force of nature. He came up with this idea and sadly he died not too long after. Go back to the beginning. Where did the idea first stem from? Where did your brother get that idea to found Are You Okay Day?
Gavin was trying to think of a way to process his feelings about the fact that our father had taken his own life back in 1996. So it was some years later, that's when he came up with the idea of a National Day of Action to encourage people to stop little problems becoming big ones. And that's right. Where the kernel of Are You Okay grew from.
How proud are you of this legacy he has left behind and how much it's grown in the years since it was founded?
It's unbelievable. It's truly, like, I was in the States and he called me and said, you know, this is, it's happening, it's all coming together, and I just couldn't believe what he was pulling off. And at the time, I thought, you know, this is remarkable that he's able to marshal, because he had to get buy-in from all the mental health sector, you know, because there's amazing mental health organisations in Australia, and he didn't want to compete with anybody or take away, you know, from what they were doing, more kind of act as a kind of a portal into people thinking and talking about it. And he was telling me about the things he was doing to pull it all together, and I just couldn't believe what he was trying to pull off. And then to see it come together and to see the way that Australian people have embraced the concept, it's similar to what happened with Keep Australia Beautiful many years before, where, you know, the idea of getting people around this National Day of Action, you know, to clean up Australia at the time, kind of just got in the Australian psyche, and it made a big difference. And this is what's happened now. People, it's in the vernacular. Mm. It's part of the way that people look at their relationships with each other now, and they go, you know what? I'm going to keep an eye out for my mate, or, you know, my sister is, you know, just lost her job. I'm a bit more aware of how that, what the ramifications can be there.
You're so right. It's so in the vernacular now. It's a great little saying, are you okay? It's so simple and it really just gets that message across.
And this year especially, as you mentioned, people losing their jobs and the isolation with the pandemic, it's such an important day.
Huge, huge year for it. I mean, obviously Gavin, he, you know, left behind a huge legacy. You're working really hard to keep that alive. You're on the board for Are You Okay Now? And we understand one of the messages this year is there's more to say after asking Are You Okay? Tell us more about that.
Yeah, there's four steps to what Are You Okay is about. It's about looking out for the signs, and so you trust your gut to say, oh, I think something might be wrong. It's about then creating that space where you can ask the question in a way that someone feels like they can talk. Then it's about listening and letting that person, you know, get off their chest whatever it is that's ailing them. And then the fourth step is just checking back in. And listen, if the problems are bigger than you can handle, you don't have to be a mental health professional. You're not expected to suddenly become a psychologist, a psychiatrist, and fix everything for this person. You can encourage them to get that help, you know, that professional help. And on our website as well, there's links to many of the great organisations like Lifeline or, you know, Black Dog. But, you know, your GP can help you with that as well.
That's so true. There are so many mental health organisations out there that you can point people in the direction of if you're unable to, you know, give that advice that they obviously need. But it is just about starting that conversation today. It's not about saying, are you okay, and walking away. Like, it's about starting a conversation, and that's what we encourage everyone to do today and every day.
I love that line. Ask, then listen, encourage action, and check in. Mm. Get more at areyouokay.org.au, and you gave them a bit of love there, Aya. But yeah, we're big supporters of Lifeline on this show, so you can reach them anytime on 13 11 14 as well. If you are struggling, it's a great day. Your brother started a great thing, Aya, and you are really keeping that legacy alive. Thank you so
Thanks,
much,
guys.
Man.
Well done, guys.
call us on 131060 because
no judgment here.
No judgment. Unlike Matt O'Kine, the comedian, you can catch him and Alex, Matt and Alex, the All Day Breakfast through Podcast One. But yesterday he told us on the show he used to judge a friend of his who used to pull over on the way home from work just for a little quiet time before entering World War III.
Well, when I lived with my niece, she was only a baby when I lived with my sister and niece, and I used to lock myself in the bathroom and she'd sit out the door crying. Because how dare I lock her out? So I didn't have a good one.
Peaceful way to shave your legs with wailing out the door.
Let me in.
Emma's in Gladdy. Emma, how do you get alone time away from the kids?
My partner and I, once we put the kids in the car, we slowly walk to the back of the car. We have a really massive deep breath. Just let it all go. We have a cuddle and a quick smooch and then another huge deep breath and very, very, very slowly, slow motion, walk back and get in the car.
Yeah, that's smart.
I love that because they're locked in. Like they've got the buckles on, they can't get out.
The buckles are on. It's just for like just a minute or two and we just have a little bit of time to ourselves.
I like that.
A little bit of smooch without anyone hanging on us.
We'll essentially put the kids in a straitjacket.
So we can have a kiss.
And then we'll have a little smooch. Dee and Toowoomba, how do you get alone time from the kids?
Oh, I used to hide in my walk-in wardrobe. I actually had a chair set up in there, and the door was hard to open, so they couldn't just slide it open. You had to, like, really jam it. So they'd run around the house going, "Mum, where are you? Mum."
And you're just sitting in the wardrobe.
You know, you need
giggling my head off. It was so enjoyable.
You need a little bar fridge in there.
Totally.
Just for some snacks. Jamie, how do you get alone time from the kids?
So when I'm finished from work, I just sit in my car on my phone and just see how long I can sit there until they realise that I'm in the driveway.
And then what do they do when they realise you're there?
They usually come running out. And I'm like, "Oh, damn, I only got a couple of minutes there. I need a bit more."
Wow.
It's a good day if you get five.
I'm going to have to drive in quieter tomorrow. We'll end with, is this Nakara?
Yes.
Hey, Nakara, how do you get alone time from the kids?
I tell my partner that I've got to go to the shops to get milk and bread.
Oh, you got like a little code word system going on.
Yeah. I'll say, "Oh, look at that. We've just run out of some milk. I better go get some." And he goes, "Oh, yeah, sure." And I say, "I'm leaving the kids here, though."
Where do you actually go?
Yeah.
Wherever I want.
Yeah, anywhere but Woolies.
There's like three milks in the fridge. You're like, "Oh, we've run out again.
Need our sixth loaf of bread."
Do I have something in my teeth?
Ace Ventura, When Nature Calls.
Say hello to my stinky little friend.
Oh, that is totally the image that came into my head yesterday when we were talking to Carmen, who was reunited with her corgi Haku after she got him looked after, and the people who were looking after him didn't want to hand him back. And she said, "I had to get a pet detective onto the case." We were like, wow, these people that
exist.
Do pet detective work actually exist. And we have tracked her down. Her name is Kira Lee. She is a pet detective. She joins us right now. How are you, Kira Lee?
Yes, I'm tired. I'm really tired.
I bet you are. Well, you've been on all the TV stations. You've been doing radio. And just quickly from the outset, I think Ace Ventura probably paints a different comparison as to what you actually do, right?
It's actually quite embarrassing to be thought of as a pet detective. I'm actually a pet theft investigator, and we don't charge for our services. We just do it out of the goodness of our heart and the passion to reunite pets with their owners.
Oh, and there was such a great moment when Carmen and Haku did actually reunite. It was absolutely beautiful. So that must be a wonderful story for you. Great conclusion to a case. But how did you actually get into this? Like, obviously it's a passion of yours, but how did it start?
Well, I've always been involved with animals, had a passion for animals, and I just want to give back because I got quite sick when I was 31, and a lot of people helped me out, and I've been able to give back now, and I ask when we can help owners, and they go, "Well, can we pay you, or can we do it?" We go, "Well, you know what, I'd rather you pay it forward and educate others and help others if this happens to them."
Wow. This case of Carmen and her little corgi, Haku, it's been all over the headlines and such a crazy story. She goes overseas, comes back, and then pretty much the people
sitters.
Who are the pet sitters, they won't give the dog back, which is just crazy. What did you do to help in that case?
Well, the story was that she went over to visit her family with her partner and child, and COVID hit, and so she rushed back home. And because she had to come back in and go straight into isolation, the people that had haku and were doing a great job was actually a friend. And they're not pet sitters, as in they're just friends. They're not,
professionals.
You know, qualified. No, and there are beautiful qualified pet sitters out there that you can trust. This what happened was the man fled the house and took the property, which is what dogs are deemed, and that is illegal, and he went into hiding.
Oh, wow. So he took his companion with him, pretty much, someone to, the dog was his support.
Yeah, that's what he reckoned.
Well, that wasn't his dog, though.
No, well, that's the point.
That's the problem,
that
right?
is the problem.
And I'm still not 100% comfortable with, you know, dogs, cats, whatever, pets being property. It's
no.
such a weird kind of way
it's
to...
It's a living creature.
Yeah, to kind of classify them. But, hey, we've certainly learnt a lot. Pet detective.
No, I know. Pet theft investigator.
I was going to say, I know that's not what you said. Pet theft investigator. I mean, pet detective, it's just easier. But let's go with that. Pet theft detector. Kira Lee, thank you so much for the time. Investigator.
All right.
Oh, God, I can't get it right.
Missing and Stolen Pets Australia.
That's check it
missing
out.
Missing and Stolen Pets
it's on
Australia.
Facebook.
Good on you, Kira Lee. Appreciate your time.
Thank you for giving us some press.
Finish the sentence, my pet did ... but I still love them. Chantel, what do you got for us?
My cat eats my son's homework. He literally pulls apart, like, his homework book, and then I forgot to write a note for his teacher. And then she, like, didn't believe him that the cat ate his homework.
Well, it is literally the oldest excuse in the book.
If you're the teacher, though, you'd be like, no, your dog. Your dog, ate your homework. My dog smeared poo all over himself, all over me, and all over the car. So that's what my dog did, but I still love him.
That's why we're doing this. 131060, Sam is next. Sam, finish the sentence. My pet did ... but I still love them.
My pet did shredded all the toilet paper at the start of COVID-19.
Oh, and there's none left on the shelves.
None left.
What did you do? Did you, like, collect it all up and put it in a bucket?
Well, it wasn't actually the first time, and we thought it was really cute, except for when COVID-19 happened, and then it wasn't so cute because then we had to cut up sheets and wash them and then dry them and use that because there was actually nothing. There was no tissues. There was no toilet paper.
Oh, my God. You use sheets?
Yeah. Yeah,
oh, wow.
We had desperate measures. So
reusable toilet paper.
Reusable toilet paper.
That's a new one for me, Sam. And you still love the dog after all that. Alana, you're next. Finish the sentence. My pet did ... but I still love him.
All right. So took him to the vet and he had a procedure done. So the vet's like, oh, you know, got to feed him 3 times a day. I'm like, okay, I'll take pity on him, put him inside to sleep in the aircon. And not even 10 minutes after feeding him, he decided to puke. Now, it wasn't just your regular one. It was your pretty chunky, still, I reckon it could still be canned and still be in the tin. And he did it right in front of me.
Wow.
And had to clean it up. My partner videoed me doing it because it was so gross.
That's a lot of fun.
Foul, but you still love him.
Still love him. I cut you off there, Alana. I know you're sad, but you still love him. Sharon, finish the sentence. My pet did ... but I still love him.
My pet did eat the wrapping paper from a picture frame that we had unwrapped, like the white wrap. And it was protruding out the bottom once it had been digested. And we had to literally pull it out of her backside like a clown pulls a scarf out of sleep.
And it just keeps coming.
And was there a bunch of flowers on the end?
And it didn't smell like roses either. No,
I bet it didn't.
We're going to take one more. Simon, we're going to end with you. Finish the sentence, Simon. My pet did ... but I still love him.
My pet ate our fourth child. Umbilical clamp that we were collecting for all 4 kids.
Oh, so that would have had like the dropped off umbilical cord as part of it.
It had the cord on it, did it?
Yeah.
Dude, you know what that dog's just seeing? Beef jerky.
That's disgusting.
Delicious. Stan Walker. No one loves Stan. He won the last ever series of Australian Idol.
Yeah, 2009.
Doesn't seem like that long ago. He's done so much since. This guy has lived a life, that is for damn sure. And we've got him on the phone right now. Stan Walker, good morning. Welcome to the Cliff Owen Gabby Show.
Good morning.
Now, that song is absolutely beautiful. We just heard the English version of it, but you've also recorded it in your native tongue, in Maori. Is that right?
Yeah. It was so cool. And I got to have my niece on there as well on the back end of the song. So, Yes, like every time I listen to it, I still get like emotional. I'm like, geez, I'm a sook.
No, you're not a sook. It is a beautiful song. Can you sing a little bit of it in your native tongue for us? Because we would love to hear what that sounds like.
It sounds like there's some swear words in there, but it's not. But the chorus is, it's, Tiro ki tua tuara he, karo no ki na wai o roto he, ke wehi te wehe na I toa wa, tiro ki tua, tiro ki tua tua.
That's beautiful.
It's so nice to hear that after listening to the English version. Like, I'm sort of singing along in my head. That's really nice. Man, what a lot you've got going on, because it's not only that, you've also actually released a memoir at the moment. Like I said in the intro, Stan, you have lived an absolute life, mate. Are you happy to talk about your stomach cancer? Because in 2017, you had half of your stomach removed.
No, I got my whole stomach out, not half of it. But like, I didn't even know anything different. Now it's just, it is what it is. I love being skinny. Everybody's like, are you all right? I was like, look at me.
Look at me.
Yeah, people pay for that.
I'm like, man, I don't ever have to train again.
Yeah. How does your digestion system, like, has it really affected your digestion?
Like, I don't eat a lot like how I used to. I'm like a bird. I just pick all the time. I just eat all through the day. But it just goes straight to my bowel. And I don't know how it all goes, but it goes
it
and
works.
It works.
You're there.
I'm so glad that you've recovered from that, though, because you did have a bit of a break from music and a break from the industry, full stop, because of those health issues. But what I did find really interesting with your memoir, you got a ghostwriter to write it with you. What does that mean? Because I've heard this term before, where you get a ghostwriter on board. How does that work?
Basically, we're sitting there, like, honestly, 6 hours at a time or 3 hours, and I'm just pouring out everything. And Margie, she was amazing. She was writing down and recording as I was talking. So she's just asking me. That's why it was like therapy, because I'd been asked questions that I've never been asked before, and I was learning so much.
Yeah. Today is actually Are You Okay Day, where we're all encouraged to reach out and say to the people around us, are you okay? You know, for a guy who's been on the lows of that roller coaster ride, what would you say to people who do struggle, like fans of yours who may be going through stuff?
I feel like, for me personally, I have to remind myself who I am and that my purpose still remains regardless of my situation, of my season, or my circumstances, that, you know, everything has to come to an end. Like, summer has to come to an end, winter has to come to an end, and I feel like whatever people are going through, it doesn't matter how dark or down you are, you just got to keep trying to get back up, because eventually that will come to an end. And to be honest, it makes you stronger, it makes you more bolder, and I feel like you become more of who you're supposed to become. I mean, I wouldn't have chosen half of the things that I've been through and half of the things that have happened in my life, but I wouldn't change it, because I wouldn't be who I am today. I wouldn't think how I would think today. I wouldn't have achieved what I've achieved today because of everything that I've gone through. So, yeah, just know that it's character building, as much as it sucks when you're in it. But, you know, it has to come to an end. Every season has to come to an end.
You're so true. There's always a light at the end of the tunnel, isn't there?
There is. The light at the end of the tunnel 100%. For this guy. I mean, the tunnel keeps going, but it's shining bright, the single bigger. Get around it. You can stream it at all the streaming services. Stan Walker, you're a great chat, man. Thank you for your time.
Thanks so much for having me. The Hit Breakfast Show.